Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. With us on the phone is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. And last night, he was on hand at the State of the Union Address as President Trump gave his very first State of the Union Address. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're going to talk about the State of the Union Address this hour. And of course, by all rights, the president hit it out of the park last night, and he hit on a lot of issues in the first year of his administration. There were also a number of personal stories of guests in the gallery with the First Lady that were very emotional moments during the speech last night, one of which, of course, was a refugee from North Korea. And this man had quite a story, and the president shared his story. Let's go to that now.
We are joined by one more witness to the ominous nature of this regime. His name is Mr. Ji Sung-ho. In 1996, Sung-ho was a starving boy in North Korea. One day he tried to steal coal from a railroad car to barter for a few scraps of food, which were very hard to get. In the process, he passed out on the train tracks, exhausted from hunger. He woke up as a train ran over his limbs. He then endured multiple amputations without anything to dull the pain or the hurt. His brother and sister gave what little food they had to help him recover and ate dirt themselves, permanently stunting their own growth. Later, he was tortured by North Korean authorities after returning from a brief visit to China. His tormentors wanted to know if he'd met any Christians. He had, and he resolved after that to be free. Sung-ho traveled thousands of miles on crutches all across China and Southeast Asia to freedom. Most of his family followed. His father was caught trying to escape and was tortured to death. Today, he lives in Seoul, where he rescues other defectors and broadcasts into North Korea what the regime fears most, the truth. Today, he has a new leg. But Sung-ho, I understand you still keep those old crutches as a reminder of how far you've come. Your great sacrifice is an inspiration to us all. Please, thank you.
That was just one of the powerful moments last night during the State of the Union address by President Trump to a joint session of Congress. With us on the phone is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you today.
Well, thank you, Bill, for taking some time out to join us. And last night was really just a very moving speech by the president, very emotional at times. I was actually surprised in my own reaction. I've watched a lot of these over the years, and normally it's just the president, the executive, pontificating over a number of their achievements or things that they would like to do, a laundry list. But that wasn't the case last night. It was a very moving experience. Tell me what your thoughts were.
Well, I agree with you. It was, in spite of the response from many of our liberal friends, the Democrats on the other side of the chamber, it was electrifying. The president talked more about faith and family and the strength of our nation than he did trying to take accolades for his accomplishments. He talked incessantly about the fact that the strength of our country is not in our government, it's not in bureaucracy, it's in the indomitable spirit in the heartbeat of the American people. And I tell you, if you love America, you couldn't find anything to complain about in that speech. I think it was one of the most uplifting and inspiring State of the Unions that I've ever heard, obviously.
You know, and as a reference, he said we a lot, including himself as an American. And I thought that was great because the former president, actually, those who take notes on these things of how many times an expression is said during the speech, Mr. Obama used I a lot, referencing himself in the first person. Mr. Trump, on the other hand, was referred to we. And I think at times when he would applaud along with the audience, he was applauding the American people because that's who he was referencing.
You're exactly right. And when he would talk about accomplishments, he would gesture to the members of his cabinet or to the members of the House and the Senate who had done the heavy lifting legislative work to put bills on his desk to sign. He was very quick to spread the credit around to the representatives of the people, which essentially is giving credit to the American people for getting us back on track and making America great again. So it was a great speech.
The president talked about immigration, energy, national defense. He talked about the historic tax cuts that were passed in late December, of which you were a part of, and which is historic, and employees are going to start seeing more in their paychecks coming in February. So that's a very positive thing, and very encouraging, of course. And the president's approval numbers are going up as well as people realize that the tax reform does mean benefits for them personally. Your thoughts?
Well, I think so. I think you're going to see his numbers begin to surge. There's always going to be those naysayers, those never Trumpers who just cannot get their mind wrapped around the fact that that Hillary Clinton lost the election. But you cannot deny the facts. And here are the facts. The stock market is 6,000 points higher than it was when it started out when he came into office. Economic growth in 2017 was 2.3%. That is up from the anemic 1.5% of GDP that it hovered at for the 8 years that Barack Obama was in office. At the same time, by the time Barack Obama gave his first State of the Union address, over 4,000 jobs had been lost. Now, at President Trump's first State of the Union address, nearly 2,000 jobs have been created. And the American people are seeing more of their hard-earned money in their pocketbooks. They're able to send their kids to college. They're able to repair the car. They're able to do things that they haven't been able to do in a long, long time. And it's a tribute to the hard work of this administration.
Well, absolutely. One of the items I think that he got bipartisan support and approval on as far as applause line, and that was making prescription drugs more affordable by pushing through a faster approval rates for these drugs. Currently, they're drug out through a series of litigation, procedures of approval before they get to the American market, and it drives up costs. Also, unleashing generic drugs on the marketplace, which would drive down costs and make it more affordable for folks. Your thoughts on that?
That is a big issue. When I first came into office, the average amount of time that it took to get a new drug or a new medical cure to the American people where it could be approved by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, for prescription to the American people, the average time frame, Chris, was 17 years. That's unbelievable. In the country that that brought so many medical marvels to the world in past years, and today we poured water on our own campfire of innovation. And President Trump has begun to reignite that spark, that flame of American ingenuity and innovation and exceptionalism. And that was a big thing. The other thing he did around healthcare, that's a really big deal that got a great round of applause, was that the individual mandate, you know, the mandate that forces the American people to buy health insurance that they cannot afford, that they don't want, in many cases don't need, putting health care decisions back into the hands of patients and their doctors, taking it out of the hands of bureaucrats, that got a big round of applause, too.
Well, that's right. And, you know, there was some times in which the party of opposition, the Democrats, were sitting on their hands and sulking through most of this speech. And that was unfortunate because, you know, it was really a lot of great applause lines. And I think people at home were very moved by the speech as well. And, of course, approving of the president's first year and how much he was able to get accomplished. Also, there was even the media acknowledged that it was more of a conciliatory Trump, one in which he was reaching out to both Democrats and Republicans to come together and work on these issues for the American people. He also referenced, of course, one of the issues that you work on a lot, and that is energy exports or energy issues in a country. And he talked about the progress we're making by way of energy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, he did. You know, one of the first Congressional Review Act measures that he signed, in fact, the first Congressional Review Act measure that passed the House and the Senate, was my bill that was designed, that did save the coal industry. It was called the String Protection Rule, implemented under the Obama administration, designed to shut down underground coal mining in America. Had nothing to do with keeping streams protected. We've talked about that on your show many, many times. But that, among other measures, are actions that this president and this Republican Congress have taken to give coal a fighting chance on the energy spectrum. Because, you know, we need all sources of our energy. We need coal, we need oil and gas, we need nuclear. And, Chris, there's even a place in our energy portfolio for wind and solar and alternative fuels. But those need to be market-driven solutions.
Yes.
Not winners picked, winners and losers picked by the federal government, like what was happening under the Obama administration.
Well, that's exactly right. Also, he talked about manufacturing and the manufacturing that's returning and the manufacturing jobs that are starting to show on the government's reporting. And, of course, he was referencing where Chrysler was building a major plant, one of the plants that are leaving Mexico, coming back to the United States. He said they're coming home. So it was a big night for, really, when you consider even blue-collar workers. The manufacturing is gearing up in this country, and American-made, again, is an expression we're going to hear quite a bit of, I think, during the Trump years. Your thoughts?
I think that's a very good point. He mentioned Chrysler. He mentioned a major automotive plant going in Alabama. There are others. There are other industries where manufacturing companies are bringing their operations back to the United States, repatriating the trillions of dollars that that are currently being held overseas. And many companies have changed decisions, have changed their strategic decisions to relocate overseas. They were going to until we passed and he signed the major tax reform bill. And I'll give you a perspective, Chris, if we've got time to do that real
quick.
Yes. If you look at the century from 1865 to 1970, it's 105 years, but we'll say it's a century. If you look at that century, we were no more divided as a nation than we were at the end of the Civil War in 1865. But we showed the kind of mettle that our founders and the early Americans that settled here were made of, and the lineage that flows through our veins by he healing our internal wounds. We came together as a nation less than a generation after the end of the Civil War, and Northerners and Southerners marched off into Europe in 1917 to fight off tyranny in World War I. They did the same thing in World War II. And if you look at what they accomplished at the same time, for the century beginning in 1865 through 1970, the innovation that occurred, I think you could make the argument that it was the most explosively innovative period of not only American history, but human history. Look at what America brought. We brought the light bulb, the national energy grid, the automobile and the combustion engine, and the manufacturing process that industrialized Western cultures. The invention of the airplane, the innovation of space travel, landing a man on the moon, internal organ transplants on the medical front, nuclear power, nuclear weapons, telecommunication and computing technologies. All of that was delivered to the world by the United States of America, Chris. Now, start the clock rolling again in 1970. What are the big human experience innovations that America's brought to the table? I hear the silence.
Yeah.
The pause.
Right.
Because it's not a big, long list.
Right.
Most people say it's the internet.
Right.
And that is true. Do you know why that's the case? It's because the internet, information technology, computer software, computing technologies, telecommunications, it's the only industry in America that the federal government could not figure out how to regulate. Remember, in the early 70s, it was Nixon that brought the EPA onto the forefront. Carter brought us the Department of Energy and the Department of Education. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that some of these agencies are inherently bad. What I'm saying is that big government began to emerge on the scene, telling the American people not only what to innovate, but when, where, why, and how, and through a tax code that became so onerous that we just overhauled last December, it became so onerous, and they used it to pick the winners and losers, picking who could innovate. We'll give your industry an exception for this. We'll give another industry an exception for that. And so the federal government began to tell the American people who, what, when, where, why, and how innovation would occur. And we stifled innovation. President Donald Trump and this Republican-led House and Senate are beginning to turn that around. And I think you're going to see the days of American exceptionalism and the days of unbelievable American innovation return.
That's what I sensed last night, an actual call for that. And I think that we're going to look back on this speech as one of the aspects in which President Trump is announcing through his administration the return to American innovation and ingenuity and creativeness in the marketplace and in manufacturing and in technology. And I think it's going to be a new dawn, as it were. One other aspect that the president talked about, and I want to touch base with you, one near and dear to your heart, is you've served in the U.S. military, and that is our military strength. He addressed that last night, of course, with North Korea and the problems and the threat that loom there, but also talking about boosting military spending. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, something happened during the Obama administration that no one ever expected to happen. The issue of sequestration, which basically capped the amount of money that could be spent on our military, on national defense. We've got to change that. We've got to change the law and take those sequester shackles off of Congress so that we can provide to our warfighters the kinds of equipment, weapon systems, resources, supplies, training that they need to do the job that they're being called on to do.
The president also referenced modernizing our nuclear arsenal. And one of the things that people may not be aware of, that under President Obama's 8 years, he actually was taking offline many of our nuclear arsenal and not replacing it. And that's a very scary thought, Bill, for a lot of people when they think about it.
Well, certainly it is. Now you and I both know the power of nuclear weapons. It doesn't take many of them to do a lot of damage. But you know, you've got to keep your nuclear arsenal updated. One of the things that the Obama administration did, for example, Chris, is they stopped, they discontinued, they dismantled the only ability that we have in the United States to enrich uranium to the point that we can use it to make our nuclear triggers for our nuclear arsenal.
God help us.
It's called tritium. And that's done at a plant right here in Ohio, down in Piketon, Ohio. The Department of Energy had built that plant way, way back, years and years ago. And it was the only place under the admission of the Department of Energy itself that enrichment process could occur. And yet the Obama administration dismantled it. I think you're going to begin to see President Trump and his administration reinitiating those opportunities so that we stay ahead of the game and we don't fall behind the likes of the Iranians, the Russians, and certainly the North Koreans.
Well, I have to ask you before we let you go, and we know that you're on a time crunch, but thank you for coming on today. But the question of the memo, you're in favor of its release to the public? It's now before the president, the memo?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've written a letter calling for it to be released. I think it's important that the American people see the memo. I have read it. I can't discuss it until it is declassified, Chris.
Yes.
But it is revealing and incriminating, and it will get a lot of attention.
Well, you know, again, thank you for your service to us as a fellow Ohioan who is serving in the Congressional 6th District of Ohio. We appreciate your taking some time out today to talk about the president's wonderful State of the Union address. And I think he hit it on all cylinders and a very positive thing. In fact, CBS poll had him at 75% approval for that speech last night. That's really remarkable.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Well, God bless you, my friend. We'll have you back on real soon. So much to talk about.
Thank you, Chris. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. That's Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District calling us as he's en route to a retreat and actually was there last night, of course, at the State of the Union address. If you missed any of today's program, you can also log on to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and hear it in its entirety. Those of you that are staying with us for the next part of our program, we're going to continue talking about the State of the Union address, and we're going to talk about what the president brought forth with more personal testimony of that special adoption that took place by the police officer and his wife. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. TrustBlueReview.
Okay, and we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the Ohio Christian Alliance, you just log on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, we're going to continue our discussion about President Trump's State of the Union address last night. And by all estimations, he really hit it on many cylinders last night, and it's a very moving speech indeed, and a lot of personal testimony of those that joined the First Lady in the gallery. One specific story that was very moving was the Albuquerque policeman Ryan Hollitz and his family, his wife, who adopted a little baby girl, and her name is Hope, and there's a story behind this adoption. Let's take a listen.
Ryan Hollitz is 27 years old, an officer with the Albuquerque Police Department. He's here tonight with his wife, Rebecca.
Thank you, Ryan.
Last year, Ryan was on duty when he saw a pregnant, homeless woman preparing to inject heroin. When Ryan told her she was going to harm her unborn child, she began to weep. She told him she didn't know where to turn, but badly wanted a safe home for her baby. In that moment, Ryan said he felt God speak to him. "You will do it. Because you can." He heard those words. He took out a picture of his wife and their four kids. Then he went home to tell his wife, Rebecca. In an instant, she agreed to adopt. The Hollitz named their new daughter Hope. Ryan and Rebecca, you embody the goodness of our nation. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, that was a very emotional moment last night during the State of the Union address. And what a wonderful story. And, you know, it was very moving to hear a president talk about an officer hearing from the Lord and to adopt that child. With us on the phone is our good friend who is in the pro-life fight on a daily basis, our good friend Mark Harrington from Created Equal. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here.
You witnessed the State of the Union address last night as well. Your thoughts?
Well, Chris, you know, most folks, there really isn't a whole lot to watch historically. In fact, the State of the Union is fairly new in the sense that it's a public address to Congress. It used to be that the president would just turn in, you know, his bullet points of the things he wants to achieve on paper. But, you know, in modern times, it's now a national address to the Congress and the American people. And, you know, as years have gone by, I think we've all watched them and been bored stiff, frankly. Not even, you know, it doesn't really matter who the president was. But last night was significantly different. I was very impressed, not only with President Trump's address and the positions that he's taken, But the cross-section of testimony in the gallery that represents all that is good and right about America, it was very, very powerful. I was a mess. I don't know about you. I was a mess. There were so many great testimonies of people doing good. And I told our people today, it's easy to become cynical about America. It's easy to become cynical about the direction of our country and negative and critical because we're constantly bombarded with all that's wrong with the country. But last night was different. Testimonies like you just shared there of Ryan Hollitz and his wife, just very powerful. And although President Trump did not address the abortion issue directly, he did it through this testimony, which is really embodies what the pro-life movement is all about, and that is that every single life deserves protection and dignity. And this officer from Albuquerque did what was right and defended this baby and was willing to sacrifice and adopt that child. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful moment for the country to be part of.
A very moving experience last night when that testimony was given. And I'm with you, brother. I mean, it was very moving. I was surprised by the emotion because normally we're bored stiff. It's like, okay, right. Take some points down for the program. It's a laundry list. It's this and that. It's watching the political intrigue between the Dems and the Republicans. And
right.
And it was not that. It was a very moving experience, and one in which I think we'll look back to. And I think that the country received the message last night. I mean, a CBS poll, that's not exactly one of the media outlets that favors the president's agenda. And even they put it at 75% of those that they polled were favorable of the speech. That's really off the charts.
It certainly is, and you know, a lot of people might have differing opinions on our president, his personal life, and all of that stuff. But I can tell you this, the man loves America. Mm. It comes out in everything he says. And last night I was very impressed, and it reminded me of our great Ronald Reagan, who, you know, was able to cut through all of the cynicism and reach to a higher plane. And I really think Donald Trump's on the rise in inspiring what is best about our country. Those testimonies were the best about America. The North Korean, you know, the serviceman that was in Iraq.
Yes.
Just every single one of them. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Very moving. The couples, the two couples that lost their daughters in New York.
Oh my.
Through the gang MS-13. And we all grieved with them last night in the loss of their daughters in a very emotional moment. So, you know, really it was quite something. But, you know, as we look at it, the president has been moving an agenda that has been really quite remarkable. And I want to talk to you about, because just a few weeks ago was, of course, the March for Life in Washington, in which you go annually and you bring the big jumbotron in which you're actually educating the marchers. And indeed, that's what needs to happen, because a lot of people come to the March for Life, well, for a variety of reasons. Some of those who are really understand the abortion issue and understand the gruesome nature of the killing of innocent life. And there are others that are there, it's like, well, I'm pro-life, and they don't really understand, nor have they seen the images of what abortion actually is. And through Created Equal, you bring that reality, that stark reality, to the public. And of course, it causes a divide in what people think. A lot of times your folks on the street are met with a violent reaction by those who, how dare you show us these images? Well, the how dare is, how dare we kill the innocent in the womb? And this is the result of it. And so it's a very stark reality that people are confronted with Created Equals Ministry. and outreach, and it's reaching an audience that are making those decisions on a daily basis on college campuses. As girls obviously find themselves pregnant, and then what do they do? And so, you know, here was a story about two addicts where she was 8 months pregnant, and the officer was, you know, saying, "You realize what you're doing to your baby?" And she says, "I need help." And he offered help.
Yeah, I mean, it's, by the way, I spoke to a friend who lives in Albuquerque, who's a pro-life activist. She knows the family. Good homeschool, Christian family. I mean, you kind of knew that the moment that he began to talk about how he asked asked God for a response, and he said, I loved it. What he heard from the Lord was this is the quote, "You will do it because you can."
Mm.
I mean, think about it. It's because he could. He could adopt that baby.
Yes.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of us, when we ask that, we never ask that question. Should I do this because I can? Because the answer is normally yes. We can. We're just unwilling.
Yes.
To sacrifice. And if all of us had the attitude of this family, this Holitz family, we wouldn't have abortion happening in America because we can. It just means that we need to sacrifice, and this family was willing to do it. And this baby's alive today, and of course now the nation is inspired. More than, say, Mr. Trump, if he would have talked about the 20-week ban or any of the other things he's trying to get done in Congress relating to the abortion issue, this was a way of getting at that issue in a much more powerful and effective way.
Absolutely. And the heart of a conscience of a nation has to be reawakened to want their children again. Every day you're out there on the lines, you and your team, and you are in front of abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood and women's marches and educating on college universities and taking the justice rides across the country with Created Equal. And folks, if you've not learned about the ministry of Created Equal, you need to go to their website. Give us those the direction to get there, Mark.
Right. Well, the website is createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org. Chris, we will be leaving on March 10 for our annual Justice Ride, and that's where we take young people. We charter a bus. We get in the go on the road. We train them in the classroom. We train them in the bus. We train them on the campus, on the streets, and then we take them back home and we cut them loose to go into their communities and make an impact.
An unforgettable experience for those who are involved, and they'll never forget it. I remember the first very graphic abortion film that I saw with my wife when we just newly came back from Bible college. We were pro-life, without question. We voted pro-life. We would discuss pro-life. But when we saw the film, The Silent Scream, that was a game changer. Because now it was like something has to be done. And whatever it takes, the pro-life message has to get out. So back in the day, in the mid-80s, we were prayer walking and picketing at clinics. We were engaging with girls that were coming in and counseling them, doing whatever it takes. And, of course, beginning to vet candidates for office that they take a pro-life position. And that's what we continue to do at the Ohio Christian Alliance is we survey candidates. Now, the pro-life movement has made great strides, and the majority of Americans would consider themselves pro-life. Yet, the abortion rates continue. Planned Parenthood is big business and has not been restrained from the law, by the law yet. But we need to see that continue, and the corrupt and criminal activity, quite honestly, of Planned Parenthood has not been held account as of yet. Pro-life legislation moved through the House of Representatives, the 20-week ban, or what's called the Pain Capable Act, and it got to the Senate, needed 60 votes, and there were, but first there was a Senate procedure parliamentary procedure that's called allowing it to continue for debate, and that was voted down by the majority of Democrats that stopped the discussion on the bill. Therefore, it tables the bill. That's what happened to the 20-week bill. The president, I'm told, at some time is going to make an announcement on the pro-life issue about that life begins at conception. This is being discussed. The specifics of it yet has not been detailed. Do we have an idea, Mark, as to when that might happen? What are you hearing?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, there have been several of us, including me, that have tried to get Mr. Trump to sign an executive order, basically a personhood proclamation outlining to the administration, that is, you know, the bureaucracy that he controls, the executive branch, to have federal law, or at least their departments, treat the preborn as persons or human at conception. That's gaining some steam, and we're hoping that if he does that, that this could have a huge impact on the abortion issue. Of course, the courts would likely jump in and try to stop that from happening, which could, in effect, bring it before the United States Supreme Court for review, and that would be a powerful thing for Mr. Trump to be able to push forward. And he's the kind of guy that would do it. I mean, frankly, he is not afraid of controversy. I think he's a man of vision, and he is, like all presidents, thinking about his legacy. And he could certainly go down as one of the most pro-life presidents in American history if he continues on the path that he has set forward.
Well, that's right. And he has surrounded himself with good, godly counsel with the vice president, with Jay Sekulow, a number of faith leaders that come and see him on a regular basis. Their influence and his interest to move that way and to be cultivated that way is evident by the president's policies and how he governs himself while he's in the presidency. So we need to continue to pray for our president. And, of course, you know, he's doing the kind of things that causes God to bless him when you basically make Jerusalem the capital of Israel and you say we're moving our embassy there. It's like from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curseth thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. President Trump honoring Israel once again and the state of Israel and as a chief ally. And these are the kinds of things that do garner God's favor. And of course,
no doubt,
without question, defense of every life and the unborn. And so let's talk about the March for Life, because the president spoke to the marchers that day. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think we all were watching just the other day when the vote failed in the Senate to protect babies at 20 weeks, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And, you know, I think we've all come to the conclusion that Congress is dysfunctional. I think that's an understatement, likely, on all fronts, not just on the life issue, but basically in having to solve our problems. We cannot look to the Congress, unfortunately, right now for that. But we can look to the president, and the president can do basically two things. The first is through administrative and executive action, which this president has done more than any prior president as relates to the life issue. And second, of course, is the courts, is nominating constitutionalists to the federal courts.
He did
that with Judge Gorsuch and has been since, you know, putting great justices on the federal court. So those are the two things the president can do. And he can also use the bully pulpit. And that's what he did on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade when he spoke from the Rose Garden, the first time that a sitting U.S. president has addressed the March for Life live. Now, I thought to myself, well, it's been a long time coming. I mean, it's 45 years, but God bless Donald Trump for being willing to address those folks who defend preborn life And also, Chris, I think we all understand politically it's a very smart move, because these are the folks, the pro-lifers, conservative Christians, they're the ones who put him in office. He understands that he owes them something, and if he wants to get reelected, he needs to speak their language. So I don't believe it was a political move necessarily, but it certainly will have strong political implications for Mr. Trump going forward.
We're talking with Mark Harrington of Created Equal. We're talking about the president's State of the Union address. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
We're talking with Mark Harrington of Created Equal, and it is a pro-life organization that goes to the streets and educates on the life issue in a very direct way with folks on college campuses, the justice rides as they travel across the country, of course also picketing in front of abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood clinics. And Mark, let's talk about that for a minute, about Planned Parenthood. One of the pledges by the Republicans was to defund Planned Parenthood. And of course, one of the sticking points, of course, is that during Obamacare's construction, when they put that together, Planned Parenthood, it was ensconced within the law, their annual funding. And it was that was really terrible. Not a single Republican voted for Obamacare. Yet the Democrats at that time, with President Obama in his first term, they held sway. They passed Obamacare. The individual mandate is gone, but the funding of Planned Parenthood is still there, is it not?
One vote away last fall from finally defunding them. We were one vote from that happening. Arizona Senator John McCain was the one that cast his vote against it. But we're close, Chris, and what we need to be praying for right now is the Justice Department's investigation of Planned Parenthood, which was launched last year, and it's been a long time coming on that one, but thank God that we've got somebody in the Justice Department, Jeff Sessions,
yes,
who's willing to do what's necessary to investigate Planned Parenthood. I suspect there's going to be criminal indictments handed down by the DOJ, hopefully soon, which will add more fuel to the fire to actually defund Planned Parenthood once and for all. So that'll bring it right back up, right into the focus there again, and we'll get another shot at it. I think eventually it's going to happen, but it seems to be it's been taking a very, very long time. And, of course, we're very impatient about it. We think that that is a key to crippling the abortion industry, is to take the funding away from Planned Parenthood, because they are the number one abortion provider in the country.
Well, that's exactly right. And, this is what we must do legislatively, is to begin to roll back abortion, similar to what William Wilberforce did with the slave trade in England. And he spent his life doing it. He spent himself doing it. And finally, they came to a place where he won over his fellow countrymen. And then, of course, by way of skill in the parliament, they were able to stop the slave trade and then eventually basically ban the slave trade in Great Britain. And hopefully, folks, that's what we'll see in this country, the banning of abortion once again, and the wanting of every child that is birthed in the womb. And we believe that life begins at conception, and we're not going to stop as an organization, this organization, Created Equal. we're not going to stop advocating for those who have no voice, and that is the unborn child in the womb. And they deserve that life. As we saw baby Hope last night, she was in the womb 8 months with her mother, who was an addict, and was given a chance for life. And we believe that every child should be given a chance for life, because we believe that life begins at conception. And we are praying that this country return to its convictions that every child is a gift of God, and that's what we need. Mark, some final thoughts from you, sir.
Well, I think folks need to be encouraged. We're making progress when it comes to public opinion generally, and young people, millennials, are pro-life more than they were the generation before them. And even though we can't look to Washington, D.C. for our answers, we have a man in the Oval Office that's willing to go to bat for the babies and for our movement, and we need to be continuing to pray for him and support him when he's right, and he's right on this one. And we should be very thankful that we were spared from the alternative, which was Hillary Clinton.
Amen to that. Thank you, my friend, for coming on today. Again, Mark Harrington of Created Equal. Visit them at their website, and we'll have to have you back on to talk about some state legislative issues. If you've missed any of today's program, you want to log on to Ohio Christian Alliance. Just Google that or go to ohioca.org and learn more about our organization. And again, the full of audio of today's program. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.